Our scripture lesson for this morning is the 8th Psalm. So listen with me for the Word of God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. All sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems just a little bit unkind to continue or to finish our August sermon series, Vacation Stories, when for so many of you, vacation is nothing but a memory. School having started a couple of weeks ago. Many things at work are heading into the fall. I suspect for a lot of us, we have turned the page on our calendar and it's already September in our minds. But I'm hoping that the thoughts I'm going to share with you this morning are not just about vacation a year from now, but also about tomorrow and the weeks to come as you go to work, go to school, or engage in all the challenges and busyness of our normal and routine lives. What makes a vacation special is all the ways in which it's different from our normal and routine lives. Usually on vacation, we're away from home. We may travel to a beloved family cottage and spend time there with loved ones. We may fly to some faraway foreign destination and have once-in-a-lifetime experiences. We may drive lots of miles, visiting historic sites, museums, places of unusual beauty. Sometimes on vacation we go camping, sometimes we stay in motels and hotels, but it's pretty sure that on a normal vacation we're not sleeping in our own bed. And the activities with which we fill our days from morning to night on vacation are also different. We do things which it may not be possible to do at home, like lying on an ocean beach and listening to the waves, or climbing a mountain, or visiting with Mickey. Ann and I just got home a couple of days ago from spending a week in Maine at that beloved family cottage where she's been going since she was a little girl. We did something there which you just cannot do the same way here at home. Usually when we go to Maine, which is almost every summer, we go in the middle of August when something called the Perseid meteor shower is happening. And so one of our traditions for Maine is, if the night is clear, to walk down to the beach and lie there on the sand and watch the sky to see all the meteorites that occur during that special time. Well, it's a little late for the meteor shower, but it was a pretty clear night last Sunday night, and so Ann and I walked down to the beach, laid out in the sand, and spent most of an hour just looking up at the sky, watching the stars. We did see a few meteorites. That's always an amazing experience. There was a satellite or two that drifted across the sky, and a couple of airplanes were flying high with their little blinking lights. But mostly it was an hour of experiencing the sky, the stars, without too much light pollution. There they were, thousands of stars, too many to count. And the Milky Way was a gentle glow across the center of the sky. It was that experience which I had on vacation which led me to choose Psalm 8 as our scripture reading for this morning. The psalmist said, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?" The psalmist reminds us correctly that when we look up at the sky in the way we can do it on vacation, unhurried, without the distractions of city lights or the demands of an unending to-do list, there we can see the wonder and the beauty of God's creation in a very special way. And seeing those stars, we feel that wonderful feeling of awe, and we're drawn to worship. Galaxies, stars, thousands, millions of both take us to a different place than we find ourselves being when we're at home, pondering surely what is one of life's most profound questions. What are we that God cares for us? So what does it take for us to have that kind of spiritually uplifting experience? Well, it means we have to travel away from home to a place where the sky is dark. We have to come to the end of the day with nothing demanding our attention, with some energy left over. We have to be in that sort of vacation mode and then walk outdoors and turn our eyes up to the sky and open them wide to see. Here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, we describe ourselves as people, a congregation of people who serve Christ with open minds, open hearts, open hands. It's right here on your bulletin, right below the name of the church. It's there every Sunday. I suspect many of us never even see it because we see the same thing there. But that's who we are. Here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, we have open minds. We are not afraid to use the gift of the intelligence that God gave us to examine and seek understanding of serious problems, to look for truth in our conversations and in our decision-making, to be open to the Holy Spirit's work among us, to gain new knowledge. And we're a congregation of people who serve Christ with open hearts, which means that we care for each other, especially in times when people are struggling or challenged, having some kind of difficulties. And we extend that care out into the community around us, to our nation, to the entire planet. And we serve Christ with open hands, which means we try to keep ourselves busy using the gifts that God gave us, the skills that we have, to make the world a better place, to touch people in a way that makes a difference, and to create moments, at least now and then, in which what we do provides a foretaste of God's will fully real among us when we are in heaven. Well, today I am suggesting that we add another phrase to our self-description, and that we claim to be and work at being people with open eyes. Not trying to exclude the other senses with which we can experience God's creation around us, our hearing and our taste and our smell and our touch. They're all wonderful, but I think to say we have open eyes kind of includes all of that. So earlier this month, I was away again. I spent a week with my daughter, Christina. Not exactly a normal vacation because I was helping her move from one place to another. But even so, that trip had quite a lot of vacation-ish features to it. We did some driving across the South, and then we ended up in Houston, Texas, staying for a couple of nights with family before I got on a plane to fly back home again. It was Sunday morning, and I decided after breakfast to go for a walk, just to get some exercise. And I knew that I should go right then, because later in the afternoon it would be 100 degrees and 1,000% humidity. It was, after all, Houston. And so I took off on my walk, finally getting to the place where I thought maybe I wanted to turn around and come home. And by then I was pretty hot and kind of sweaty, because the sun was, in fact, the tropical Houston sun, and the temperature was rising. And there was a hospital right there where I wanted to turn around. I knew that a hospital would have a nice, cool lobby where I could just pause for a few minutes. And so I decided I would go in and sit down and enjoy that. So I was sitting there in the lobby of the hospital. I saw a sign on the wall that says, "Chapel, this way." Well, I was feeling just a little guilty about not going to church that Sunday morning. That's another feature of vacation for many of us. There are times when I do go to church, but that particular Sunday, it just wasn't working out. So I was guilty and also a bit curious. I decided I'd go check it out. So I went into this room, relatively small space, sat down in the back row. Well, I'm actually a Presbyterian, of course, so that's my place. And I was the only one in the chapel at that time. I noticed there was some music playing quietly in the background, and I liked that. I appreciated the fact that the room had obviously been set up to be a place of calm and spiritual comfort for people of different faiths. And my eyes fell upon a stained glass window right at the front. Well, it was an interesting sort of abstract design, lots of pieces of stained glass and what looked like sort of random order. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized that there was, in fact, a design. There were images in it. There was a sun up in this right top left corner. And there were rays of light sending across the stained glass window down to a couple of figures down in the bottom right-hand corner. And there was a image of the hand of God reaching out of the clouds toward those two figures. These were not at all obvious. Really quite an abstract design, not easy to see. But if you really looked at them, opened your eyes, you could see them. And they were very nice. So I was enjoying sitting there, peaceful time, quiet, good space, enjoying the skill of the artist who'd created that stained glass window, happy that I'd taken the time to sit there and look at that window enough to really see it. And then my eyes moved just a few feet to the right and fell upon a crucifix hanging on the wall. It was about this big and carved out of walnut. Well, I have been a Protestant my entire life. And so the crucifix, that symbol of the cross with the body of Christ hanging upon it, has never been a significant part of my experience as a Christian. I've never worshipped in a sanctuary that had a crucifix up front more than once in a while, because it is one of those Catholic things which my Presbyterian heritage told me since I was a child was something to sort of stay away from. It's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's not our thing. But there I was, far from home, sitting in the hospital chapel, somehow aware in a new way of how good it is to really look at things, to see things deeply. And so I didn't do my normal Protestant thing, which would have been to look away from that crucifix, kind of dismissively, maybe with a little bit of pride, actually, that in my church, our cross is empty, which symbolizes the victory of Christ over death on Easter morning. I didn't do that. And looking at that crucifix with open eyes. I came to the understanding that for millions and millions of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that symbol is at the very heart, the very core of their Christian faith. It's not as if I learned something new by looking at it. It's not as if I hadn't seen it before. But what was new was the fact that I saw it with open eyes. My previous encounters with the crucifix, I would have just sort of looked away. But I allowed my eyes to stay on it, and my mind and heart to have a kind of openness, some kind of new capacity to see it with interest, and to desire an understanding that is deeper about what I was seeing and what it meant, what it could mean to me. So what I have learned from my reflections on this visit to the hospital chapel was that I look away a lot. There was a Muslim prayer rug there in that chapel. I saw it. I knew it was there. I knew what it was. Didn't really look at it. There was an icon, a painting from the Eastern Orthodox tradition of Christianity hanging on the wall. I saw it. Knew what it was. Didn't really look at it. Who knows what it was that I didn't even notice at all? I just seemed to go through life with this kind of tunnel vision. I think we all do this. I do it when I'm driving. When I'm driving, I'm seeing what's ahead of me, and I notice those things which seem to be important. A truck that's coming at me. A sign telling me what the speed limit is. A billboard advertising food if I'm hungry. I see those things. And I see it in a kind of focused way, which is probably the right thing to be doing when I'm driving. I shouldn't be just looking around at all the scenery. That wouldn't be good. And if I'm concentrating on doing a task where I really want to do something well and get it right, again, my vision is focused upon that, and I'm ignoring all the other senses that I may be experiencing. But vacation has the particular feature of giving us an opportunity to slow down a little bit, to be a little bit less task-oriented, relax a little more, take some more time, not quite so focused on what I'm doing right now. And so vacation gives us the opportunity to open our eyes, see things, broaden our vision in a way that just doesn't happen at home. Gives us that opportunity to ask those big questions about life, to understand who we are and whose we are and what it all means. In that way, vacation is a real gift in which we have moments of spiritual growth and enlightenment, which we probably should call Holy Spirit moments, even if we're not even close to a church, and we can see God before us. Today, for me, for you, probably for most of us, vacation is over. We're now busy with our to-do list starting tomorrow morning. Probably in this time, our eyes do need to be focused on the task ahead of us. We need to pay attention to doing things well, achieving success. But even so, even when our lives are like that, routine and normal and busy, in a sense, we can go on vacation for a few minutes now and then, pausing intentionally to open our eyes, choosing to look deeply at the wonders that surround us, the beautiful things that may in fact be right in front of us, seeing the handiwork of God, feeling awe as we see it, being drawn to worship. Vacation, even in a brief break tomorrow and the next day, gives us a chance to open our eyes and see God. Michael Smith wrote a beautiful, simple hymn. Some of you may know it. I want to close with his words. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.